Acts chapter 11, verse 22 says this. Says, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. That's interesting. What if somebody, when people visit Houston Faith Church, when we have preachers visit Houston Faith Church, they comment to us, and what they're saying is, wow, we see the grace of God here. You heard it in the prophecy even Sunday. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it? That's what he saw. He saw the grace of God, and he was glad. And he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Notice that phrase there. He was a good man. He was a good man. That's the topic for today. And that's the question for all of us. Are you a good man? Of course, that can be woman. Can be the general sense of a man. So are you a good man or woman? What's the description of a good man or woman? Well, it tells us right here. Who is a good man? It's one full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Now, stop there for just a second, because some have been trained in the legalistic sense on Scripture without other Scripture, meaning there's a Scripture in the Old Testament that says there's none good, no, not one. And even in the New Testament, it quotes the Old Testament Scripture saying there's none good, none, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Kind of putting everybody down, but really just describing where we are in our sinful state. The truth is, in the New Testament, it's okay to call people good. And then somebody will bring up the fact that Jesus said, remember when the guy came asking about eternal life? He says, good master, what do I need to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Remember that? And so I've heard in even my Christian walk that somebody will say he's a good man. They'll say, there's none good. Jesus said that there's none good but God, so don't say anybody's good. Well, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. Obviously, they called Barnabas a good man. It must be okay. No, what Jesus was actually saying was, don't try to flatter me with good master or good teacher. And that's all that guy was doing, trying to flatter him to get some good news about eternal life. And so flattery's not good. Jesus wasn't saying that it's wrong to say somebody's good. You with me?
Right.
Many scriptures in the Bible talk about a good man. We'll read some of those in a minute. But just so you don't get hung up with good, the goal should be to be a good man.
Yeah.
When I got in the kingdom of God, that was my thought. I thought, I want to be good now. Yes, sir. I want to be honorable now. I don't want to be flimsy anymore in life. I want to be a good man.
Amen.
Didn't you feel that way?
Amen.
I knew how I'd been living all my life as a heathen. I wanted to be known as a good man. I was tired of being the dirty person. I wanted to be the good man. I wanted to be a goody-goody. You know, in school, it was not good if you were a goody-goody. They use that term derogatory toward those who are always so prim and proper and never get any marks in their chart or whatever you call it. A goody-goody. Listen, church, you need to be a goody-goody.
Yes. Yes.
It's a goal for us. But what is a goody-goody? What is a good man? What is a good woman? Well, it's not just some thing we say about nice people. Even though if you're good, you'll be nice. A good man is, quote, full of the Holy Spirit and faith.
Amen.
That's what he said here. He didn't say be a good man and be full of the Holy Spirit and be of faith. No, he said Barnabas was a good man, quote, or comma, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, which is the description of a good man.
That's right.
So a good man is full of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And faith.
Oh, amen.
So that's what we're going to discuss today, to make sure that we're full of the Holy Spirit and faith, so that we can at least know that God's thinking of us as a good man. Doesn't really matter too much what people think, but they ought to be thinking it. It's not about you trying to get people to think something good about you. That's not the point. But if you're a good man, they'll think it.
Amen.
I got a couple amens. We're not doing it for people. We're not even really doing it for ourselves. We're doing it because it's right.
Yes.
We're achieving a goal of spiritual maturity so that we're known as a good man. So that heaven thinks of us as a good man.
Amen.
Now that's a good goal.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, around here we expect, and the way we preach is we really imply that everyone here should be mature in Christ. So the way we preach is the way the Bible wrote it, which doesn't leave any wiggle room.
Amen.
Amen.
I had somebody tell me that long ago, we first started the church, they said, wow, Pastor, you don't give us any wiggle room. I thought that was humorous, but it was probably true, because we try to weave Scripture together the way it's written. We try to interpret our life in light of Scripture, which doesn't leave any wiggle room. It doesn't say, you know, be sometimes kind. Occasionally, whenever you feel like it, be good. Isn't that right? No, it just says what it says. It says what's right. Says how to be. Gives a benchmark way up here. So we always preach with this high expectation, this high benchmark, insinuating everybody ought to be there. Now, granted, we know not everybody's there. We know that there's some new Christians. There's some that are, everybody's at a different level, and everybody's developing. So we realize not everybody's fully developed in the Lord. Maybe we'll never be. But at the same time, we only have one benchmark.
Amen.
We only have one goal.
That's right.
We don't have be a little baby Christian goal. Even though it's okay to be a baby Christian if you're a baby Christian. The Bible says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, or the pure milk of the Word. So we want to teach new Christians to start hungering after the Word of God. That means you like reading the Bible. You like hearing teaching. You can't get enough almost. Every Christian ought to go through that stage and then continue to some degree. But we're growing up and developing and maturing in the Lord as we go. So we know that not everybody's at the same spot. We're not expecting that. But around here, we kind of teach like we're expecting you to all have graduated from spiritual high school. We're going on. The Bible says that. It says, let's not always have to lay the foundation. Let's move on unto a perfect man. Let's get mature. So, you know, obviously we need high school, spiritual high school. We all need to grow up in the elementary things of God, but then we need to go ahead and advance. So the way we preach around here is a little bit of both, but it's certainly we're expecting everybody to be graduated from spiritual high school. Okay? So what that means is, let's find out about this full of the Holy Spirit stuff. Let's find out about being full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Let's find out about being a person like Barnabas so that others can be added to the Lord. This is not just to turn people into street preachers, but this is to turn people into bright, shining lights that attract others to the kingdom so that you don't repel people and so that you're not so self-consumed with your own life that you're oblivious to others. That can happen to even good Christians. We're talking about being full of the Holy Spirit. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you won't be self-absorbed.
That's right.
If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you won't have selfish ambition.
Amen.
There's so many attributes to being full of the Holy Spirit, because what that means is that the Holy Spirit has so filled you that you've squeezed out yourself.
Glory.
Like there's no room for me in here.
Amen.
That changes the ball game. That changes everything about your life. That turns you from an emotionally driven person to a spiritually driven person. You know, everybody has emotions, isn't that right? Emotions aren't a bad thing. To be governed by them is a bad thing. Every single one of us in here is emotional. Isn't that right? Some more than others, but we're all emotional. The only non-emotional people in here are the dead ones. Oh, there's none of those. We're all emotional. So the emotions has to do with the soul, the mind, which is all unsaved people have. The only thing unsaved people have is their mind and their body. They have a spirit, but it's sleepy. It's dead still. When you get saved, then your spirit comes alive and you have something else that can govern you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But then as a new Christian, you're excited and alive, but then your soul still wants the reins of your life. So you have to learn how to govern your thought life. You have to learn how to get your mind renewed. You have to learn how to not be emotionally driven, but spiritually driven. Not be emotionally minded, but spiritually minded. And I would like to say that that's basically this. It's to side with God first. Don't side with your carnal self. Don't side with your emotions. Don't side with the facts of history in your life. Don't side with your disappointments. Don't side with your emotional trauma, stress, and strain. Don't side with them. Side with the Word of God. Side with spiritual truth. Be on God's side. Get His perspective. So that's why when you're sitting in church, that's why it feels like around here that there's no wiggle room, because we're going to read the Scripture and expect you to say yes, amen.
to not say, yeah, but you know what I've been through. You know, how can you say that about what I've been through? I don't care. Now, I care about you, and I care about what you've been through. But I know that if I get in that pit with you, I can't get you out. So we don't do any petting emotional trauma here. Everybody's got it. Some of it's very heartbreaking. Some of it's very scary. Some of it's so sad. Well, instead of just getting entangled in that and never getting out of it, let's acknowledge it, and then let's go to the solution real quick. It's the only way. It's the only way. We're not saying deny that you ever had a problem or a disappointment. But if you get stuck in it, you'll get bitter. First, you'll get mad at God. You'll fight that, but you'll be mad at God deep down. Or maybe it's people. You'll be mad at people. And if you don't deal with your anger at people, you'll get bitter and offended. Really, offense goes second. Anger, offense. Then you'll get bitter. And then you'll get poisoned. Then not only you will be poisoned, you will poison those around you.
Amen.
And in the whole time, you won't have any real relationship with God. You won't have any fellowship with God. You won't see His hand in your life. You won't see His favor in your life. You won't be a happy Christian. It's just a terrible process to get involved in. And it all starts with emotion stuff. So it's okay to acknowledge a problem. It's okay to process through a problem, but do it fast. Joni uses the term, every time I say that, I forget what it is. It's okay to, when you have an issue, you want to have a spiritual response to it, rather than a soulish reaction. Don't rehearse problem. Don't get stuck rehearsing your problem. Once you've rehearsed your problem to one person, it's over. Matter of fact, once you've rehearsed your problem to yourself, keep it to yourself. One time, that's it. If you do it any more than one time, now you're being emotionally driven and soulish, and you're not going to see the supernatural hand of God very quickly. It's going to cause you to have to really fight the fight of faith, which you could have ended quickly if you'd have been spiritual first. You have a disappointing thought. You have an emotional thought that's not holy, not good, not healthy for you. Catch it. Let it go past you. Don't catch it. Just let it go past you. I mean, identify it and let it go past you. Rather than let it sit on your head and bother you and worry you, what did they mean by that? What did they mean? They probably meant that. Oh my gosh, they probably don't even like. Oh my God, why would he have said that? What do they mean? What does that mean? Don't do all that. That's just strange. That's not spiritual. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I mean, do a scripture. What scripture? There's a bunch of them. Like, love believes the best of everybody.
Yes.
So just go ahead and believe the best of it. Yeah, but I just have this feeling. Stop that. See, that's an emotional person that's not tapping into the Spirit, the strength of the Holy. You wouldn't say they're full of the Holy Spirit. If they're going to grumble and complain their way around all issues and spread it, they're not full of the Holy Spirit and faith.
Amen.
Chew on that for just a second. The more full of the Holy Spirit you are, the less complaining you do.
Praise the Lord.
The less bad news spreading you do. The less gossiping you do. The less yeah you do. The more full of the Holy Spirit you are, the less strife you get involved in.
Amen.
And we could say strife in your own mind. So stay full of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be called a good man, you stay full of the Holy Spirit and you get the other stuff out of you. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit will be evident. Love and joy. Oh. Holy Spirit filled people are full of joy.
Amen.
If you haven't been full of joy, haven't been full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is he saying that I'm not full of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Is he saying I'm not full of faith? Yes, I am. I sure absolutely am. It's a lot easier to say it from the pulpit than it is to your face. We don't have to fight about it because I said it from up here. Truth is still the truth. If I, as Chas Stevenson, find myself not full of joy, not full of the Holy Spirit, I'm not a good man. If I find myself grumbling and complaining and always looking at the negative side of things, and guess what? Not being full of the Holy Spirit, not being full of faith. Interesting, isn't it? And to be honest, it's a lot easier to stay full of the Holy Spirit and faith when you're not around people. Isn't it? If I'm not around people, nobody knows. If I'm not around people, I don't have a chance to show my true colors. I can walk around with an inflated mind thinking how holy I am. But as soon as I get around people, it's going to show. The Bible says in Matthew, says that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Another scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Proverbs 12:2 says, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. Psalm 112 says, a good man deals graciously and lends or gives, distributes. So it's okay to be a good man, don't you think? There are certain qualities of a good. We did it a couple weeks ago. That being full of the Holy Spirit means you're a generous person. You're a giver. Do you think of yourself as a giver? If you were to take a look at your checkbook or your credit card statement or your ATM or whatever you do, would it show that you're a good man? I just came up with that, by the way. It's a way for us to analyze ourselves. We're not here to judge each other. I'm not here to look at your checkbook. But you're here to look at your own. Does anybody still write checks? A few of you still write checks. Patty still writes checks. Nothing but checks. Does anybody still use cash? A few of you still use cash. The Bible says, Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man is the opposite. So have you ever gotten full of your own ways? Have you ever backslidden a little bit in your heart? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise it for us. If you ever got backslidden in your heart, or you could say, if you ever want to make sure you're not backslidden in heart, check up on your ways. Are you filled with your own ways? Are you full of yourself? That's the world's way to say it. Are you full of yourself? Because when you get backslidden, you'll stop delighting in the ways of God. You'll start thinking about yourself. And that will take precedent over everything. And then you'll come up with a new scripture that says, God wants me happy. I have heard good, well-meaning Christians saying, God wants me happy. So I have to do this flesh thing that I've just decided. I'm just so obsessed with doing this flesh thing that goes against the Word of God because I know that He wants me happy. Why do you know that? Where does it say that? Do you have a scripture? If you have a scripture, please, let's show it to everybody so that we can all stand on it. Y'all are thinking, what? Hallelujah. Turn with me to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. So I guess basically be careful about living your Christianity out emotionally. You don't even need to connect emotionally to a message. We give some examples here and there, but we don't have to get deep in emotion in the message. Testimony. Don't get emotional in the testimony. Let's keep it short, quick. Let's pass over the emotional parts, the hard parts, the destruction parts, the things that we've dealt with. Let's pass over that quickly, acknowledging, and then let's move on to the solution. Let's just keep our eyes focused on Jesus so that there's solution and there's glory toward God rather than glory toward the devil and glory toward the problem. And then rehearsal of the problem. And you don't care about me because you don't want to hear me describe my problem. No, because I already heard that last week. And so we don't need to keep going through the same thing. And you don't need to keep going through your same things. If you've had to think about your problem that you've been dealing with for a long time, stop it. When are you going to stop talking about it? When is your eyes and heart and mind going to stop on that problem? I mean, stop messing with that problem. If you don't quit that, you won't ever succeed. And you'll never feel full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And you'll never feel like a good man because you've been wandering around with the pig dirt. Look, there's pig dirt. There's pig dirt in this life. It's not fun. It's ugly. It smells. It's nasty. Pains. Suffering. It's not fun. And we all deal with it. So what are you going to do? We're not acting like it's not there, but we're just not going to talk about it. We're going to go over it so that we can move on. We're not going to let it get into our heart. When I was a teenager, college student, and after college, I was a big hunter and fisher. Okay, I do a little bit now fishing, but I was a big hunter and fisher. And so my friend and I owned a John boat together, a little 14, 16-foot John boat with a little 35-horsepower motor. And we'd go duck hunting all over. And we would go down to the Odin Lost Rivers particularly, and we found some good spots. And so we would putt through we'd speed through the big section, and then we'd have to get to these little rivers, little tributaries, and we'd have to go up in there, into the woods and into the marshes, and find a good place to hunt ducks. Is everybody okay with hunting? If you've ever been duck hunting, you'd know why I liked it. It's a thrill. It's a thrill to trick those animals to come land close. You can hear them flying, and they start cupping, and it's the most beautiful thing. And not to mention that ducks are beautiful, but you can't experience their beauty unless you shoot them down. And then it feels good to have overcome nature. But anyway, so we hunted a lot, and sometimes it'd be three or four or five of us in the boat, and decoy bags and guns, and I mean, we're going through, and it's dark, so usually you start hunting early morning. Any duck hunters in here? A few of you? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. You'll understand. This is for the one or two of you. And so it's usually dark because you want to get there before daybreak, but your decoy's out. And so we're going through the water, but it's not, I mean, it's kind of uncharted territory a lot of times till you really learn the river. But even then, you can't be sure what's in front of you. So we always have a spotter in the front with a spotlight who's directing, look, left, right, right, left, left. So you avoid the stumps because a lot of cypress stumps in the water. Some of them protrude out of the water. Then sometimes you got big logs floating in the water. So you always have somebody directing you around the issues. And it's kind of scary. I mean, it's foggy sometimes. You can't see real good. If you shine the light in the fog, then you certainly can't see. So it's not an easy task. But think of this. We never stayed home. We never said, oh, that's going to be too difficult. Let's not even try that. Because the life of faith means that you're going to have to take a step out and journey. If you're going to have any experience of exciting things with God, you're going to have to step out of the boat. You're going to have to take a shot. You're going to have to follow the Holy Spirit and take a step of faith and trust Him through the adversities. Amen. Being a Christian does not mean we escape every issue. Amen. It doesn't mean we just kick back and try to enjoy the good life without anything happening. No, you need to be ready for things to happen. And you need to be ready to overcome it by faith. So anyway, so here we'd be going through the water, and every once in a while we'd miss one. Like the spotter wouldn't see the thing under the water, and so our boat would go... We're like, ooh, I hope that didn't hurt one of the rivets. And then sometimes we'd hear a thump, a real loud thump. We'd be like, oh, man, we missed it. What was that? It's like, I don't know. Let's keep going. And that turned out to be the real secret. Just keep going. Never once did we stop the boat and say, what was that that we hit? I wonder how big that stump was. Well, let's just take a picture of that thing and... Don't do that with your problems either. Don't stop and examine them. Don't get all wound up with them. Don't rehearse them over and over. Don't get sidetracked emotionally by something that hurt. Just move on. It's the only way to keep your eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so you have to develop that habit as a Christian not to get stuck emotionally. You won't be happy. You'll miss the whole excitement of everything. What you're supposed to do is use your faith to keep on going. Trusting that, hey, we're going to make it. We're going to maneuver through these things and we're going to make it. Now, sometimes the water was real low
in those rivers and streams because the north wind would push it out or the tide would be, low tide. And so then it would really, you'd see a lot of danger. And we'd really have to be careful, even more careful, because everything's poking out of the water and it looks dangerous. But we never stopped. We got to go hunting, man. I mean, this is important. You got to live your life. It's important that you keep going and that you don't let things and problems that you had, weigh you down and keep you back. In the old days, those, and they probably still do, but the smaller motors will have something called a shear pin on the propeller. That when the propeller's going, if it hits something that it can't get through, the shear pin will break so that the propeller doesn't break its mechanism. And every once in a while, you hit a big log and that thing would pop and then you're stuck. There's no more, thrust through the water. Well, so what we'd do is wherever we were, floating across the bay or in the middle of a river or whatever, we'd have to pull the motor up, get our spare shear pins, and fix it on the fly. And then we'd get back going. Hey, life's going to stop you every once in a while, but you're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit to not be so moved. You're going to have to use your faith so you don't look like that. Everybody, please don't look like that, Pastor. You have to use your faith and you be full of the Holy Spirit so that you can just fix the thing, get your faith on top of it, move on with God. Don't be stopped. Don't be stuck. Don't let it deter you from the will and plan of God. You just keep going forward. Amen. Now, every once in a while, it would be the rivers would be full, maybe from a big rain or maybe from the other direction of the tide. And so the water would be so high, we wouldn't even have to hardly worry about the stumps. And we just fly through there. And it was a lot funner when we just flying through. We still had to be alert, but fly. And so we can liken that to the Holy Spirit. The more full of the Holy Spirit you are, the easier this journey will be.
Amen.
The less interrupted you'll feel, the less moved emotionally you'll be, the fuller of the Spirit you are. But you don't fight emotion by just saying, I'm not going to be emotional. Everybody pray for me not to be emotional. That's not how you fight emotion. Not that we have to fight emotion. We have to fight being moved by our emotions. What you have to do is get full of the Spirit and stay full of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means you got to do the things necessary to stay spiritually minded with the Spirit of God. Which means you got to be full of the Word. You won't be able to be full of the Spirit without being full of the Word, because He doesn't work without the Word. Really, you got to know the Holy Spirit. There's some people that think they're full of the Spirit. They don't know much Word. Therefore, they're always slipping and falling and hurting. Stay full of the Word. Then you got to pray in tongues a lot. You got to be in prayer. You got to have an intimate prayer life with God. Absolutely. These are necessary things to stay full. And then your evidence will be some joy. And if you don't have any joy, you got to do it by faith. And then you'll feel the joy again.
Amen.
Or the peace. If you don't have the peace, you need to do some things by faith to get the peace of God. Praying for peace doesn't give you peace.
Amen.
Oh God, give me peace. Give me peace. Give me peace. And the Holy Spirit's saying, why don't you just pray in the Spirit some and I'll help you. Pray in the Spirit. Why don't you just pray in the Spirit for an hour a day? We're talking Holy Spirit filled people. Holy Spirit filled in faith is how we rise above the problem and continue on. James chapter, I don't know what I did, but James chapter 3. This is evident. This is an evidence for you, and it's also a solution for you to tell you how full of the Spirit and faith you are, to tell you how well you're doing here. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So how many perfect people do we have in here? If you can bridle your tongue, you're a perfect man or woman. How many of you have ever bridled your tongue for a whole day? Well, sure you can. If you're not with anybody, sure you can. You were perfect that day. And maybe you can apply this to your thought life as well. But I think that we've all probably gone a whole day without sinning. Don't you think? Some people said, oh, you can't go one day without sinning. Well, I think so. I think I've been a day without sinning. I've probably been 2 or 3 days without sinning. I might even have been 7. Or I've at least been 6 days without sinning. It's the best 6 days of my life. If you bridle your tongue, you'll have a great day.
Amen.
And that means you got to bridle your thoughts as well. Because if you go through life complaining about everything, you just You just won't be able to get there. Okay? I always thought that I was Holy Spirit filled and everything until I got married, like I said. I used to drive in traffic and nothing bothered me. When I got in the kingdom of God, I'd drive in traffic, nothing would bother me. People could cut me off. God bless you. You know, people do something dangerous, no problem. You had a bad day, I understand. People make mistakes, no problem. Being delayed, no. If I'm by myself, no problem. But when my wife's next to me, now she don't care. She's just doing her thing. But when my wife's with me, I feel like I've got to do this protection thing. Hey, watch out. And really, it's less than that. What I get on is getting delayed. I just get frustrated when I get delayed. I don't know why. Because everything's okay. I guess I'm trying to keep her, you know, from being concerned about time. So I have to fight for our rights. So when you're by yourself, it's a lot easier. Well, the challenge is, even if you're with somebody, even if you are married, to not be moved in life. To make sure your words are honorable all the time. How about that? Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Just one little match can start a forest fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. This tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. So don't let hell get hold of your tongue. What this means to me is that your tongue can generate the pathway for your life, for good or evil. Your tongue can blaze a trail for your future, or it can burn the trail for your future. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, you got your tongue under control. Hallelujah. When you're full of the Spirit, you're not living through other people. When you're full of the Spirit, you're not chasing the crowd. When you're full of the Spirit, the most important thing in your life is being in the will of God. Having a personal direction and purpose from God Himself, fulfilling that only. Not flag waving, not self-indulgence, not just running around trying to have no responsibility, but taking responsibility that I'm going to fulfill the plan of God for my life, because that's Holy Spirit driven. Yeah. Full of the Holy Spirit means not spectating. So be careful in this day of spectator Christianity where we can all just kick back and enjoy the ingenuities of the preachers. To just enjoy the way things are said and how wonderful these... Don't just be a spectator. Look, there's a goal for every good sermon. There's a goal for every good Bible teaching or preaching. There's a goal, and it's to generate some something in you so that you can go do the works. Amen. The ultimate goal is always personal responsibility to do something. Not just to make me feel good. Not just to tickle my ear. Not just to give me something to do. Not just to fulfill some religious obligation. But this is designed to turn me into a good man. So that we can, and a multitude of people were added to the Lord. That's the ultimate goal. Because when you get to heaven, that will be first on the list. Did you bring anybody? Did you help anybody? Did you sprinkle the salt and light enough for others to come? And you can't do it without being full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith means you're full of love, full of kindness, full of joy, full of long-suffering, full of patience, full of long-suffering, full of long-suffering. Did I say long-suffering? Yeah, you got to suffer long. You got to suffer long. You got to be patient and kind. Yes, love does those things. Full of the Holy Spirit means you're full of the qualities of God's Spirit. And love is the banner. Love is the first one. Covers everything else. So, whatever you do, stay full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That means we're trusting God. We're not moved off of course because things went wrong. Trusting God. Full of faith.
trusting God, full of faith, never moved, never worried. That's why you fight worry. Don't let worry sneak up on you and camp. You fight worry. You recognize that you're a little dreading something or a little uncertain about something for longer than 60 seconds, you fight that. If you're full of the Holy Spirit and faith, you can fight it. God needs you to fight the worry because it's the opposite of faith. Hallelujah. So is everybody determined to be a good man? Is everybody going to side with God?
Yes.
It's the only way to have miracles. It's the only way to really enjoy this Christian life. Christian life cannot be enjoyed by just the event amusement. You understand? Because there's a lot of moments of your life, like 95% of your life is done without the entertainment of the event. Isn't that right? So don't live your life from event to event. Live your life in between the events. Let the events be the icing on the cake or the sprinkles on the icing on the cake. And that's why we emphasize so heavily here your daily walk, your Monday life, your Tuesday life, your Wednesday life. All week long you have this life that's supposed to be lived full of the Holy Spirit and faith. It's the only thing that make me happy, so I know it's the only thing that make you happy. I know the only happy moments in my life are the times that I've been full of the Holy Spirit and faith. The only happy moments in my life is when I delighted in the way of the Lord. We read that scripture. Let me read it again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God delights in the way of a good man, and I would say the good man delights in the way of God. The only happy moments in my life is when I've been content with the Lord. Just content to be in Him. I didn't need this to happen or that to happen or this to come to pass. The best times of my whole life have been when I can just sit there and be happy with the Lord. Amen. You could say worship God when I sit there and just worship God. Just being content in the things of God. Being content reading the Bible. Being content seeking the Lord. It's only the happy life that can be happy with God. Happy going to church. How many of you are happy going to church? Amen. This is everybody raise hand. Everybody raise hand. How many of you are happy going to church? You're supposed to be happy going to church. It should never be a drudgery. We got to go to church again. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Let's be happy. Come on. Praise the Lord. I mean, come on. I'm here. You ought to want to be here. I might say something nice to you. Moreover, somebody else might say something good to you or just love you. Or moreover, why don't you love somebody?
Amen.
Just never should it be, oh man, just church is like interfering in my life. No, no, it's really the center. If God is the center, Jesus is the center, church is the center, this is where we generate the momentum, the synergy, the centrifugal blah, 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 force. It starts in the middle, starts in the church, starts in the family, starts in the body, and that's where, you know, some people say, come get refueled and recharged at church. Well, that's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. I think you can stay refueled through the week, but at the same time, there's this centrifugal force, centrifuge. This is like a centrifuge. And you got to like it. You got to like church. So praise the Lord. I found a way to like church. I started liking church because it has to do with the eternal things that God likes. And when my heart got united with God's heart, I opened up to that. Hallelujah. So I want to be known as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Don't you?
No.
That should be our tag. Good man, full of... If anything was written about us, good... Oh, yep, they were good man. Good woman, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Not just good because you were nice, even though you would be nice, but good because you're full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Amen. So, the qualification is to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues a lot. Read your Bible a lot. Stay in prayer, and you'll be full of the Holy Spirit. Take challenges by faith. Don't be afraid. Know that God's with you by faith.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.